yeah. You got the right station, no question about it. You got the right time of day, and you got the right program. You're a knock on wood. I'm Steve Charney. Harry's up to his old pranks today. He's going to be in. He's got some sort of machine. I'll tell you about that later. What a wacky guy that guy is. Who else are we going to be playing today? We got the Hose Family, spelled H-O-O-S-E, but you pronounce it Hose, like in Roosevelt. We got Eddie Lawrence, yo, philosophy. I think we're going to try to squeeze in a little Michael Cooney. And we got Tom Glaser. And he's coming up right in a few seconds here. My pickle face repulsive Mary Jane. So, you know, business as usual. What can I say? Well, if you've never heard this show, if you've never tuned in, what you're about to hear is about typical.
She promised to meet me when the clock struck 17 at the stockyard just 6 miles out of town, where there's pig's eyes and pig's ears and good old Texas steers sell for sirloin steak at 50 cents a pound. She's my honey, my baby, she's cross-eyed and she's crazy, she's knock-kneed and pigeon-toed and lame. God, the rheumatism, I know her teeth are phony from eating ham bologna. She's my pickle-faced, repulsive Mary Jane. Oh, I like to go to bed while standing on my head, and I love to take a bath in ginger ale. And I'd rather go to school than go swimming in a pool, which is why I'm on a nut farm growing up. She's my honey, my baby, she's cross-eyed and she's crazy, she's knock-kneed and pigeon-toed and lame. God, the rheumatism, I know her teeth are phony from eating ham bologna. She's my pickle-faced, repulsive Mary Jane. It was midnight on the ocean and the sun was shining bright. A barefoot boy with shoes on did appear. His empty head was full, that's why he looked invisible, and that explains why I go to bed in cement. She's my honey, my baby, she's cross-eyed and she's crazy, she's knock-kneed and pigeon-toed and lame. Got the rheumatiz, I know her teeth are phony from eating ham bologna. She's my pickle-faced, repulsive Mary Jane. Some game!
Tom Glaser. If you like that song, then you like this show. If you didn't like that song, turn it off. You're wasting your time, because we just got more of that kind of stuff. We always do. Here on Knock on Wood, I'm Steve Charney. We're waiting for Harold, my dummy. You see, I'm a ventriloquist. And Harry's my wooden doll. Oh, there he is. Hey, what in the world is that machine you're bringing in?
Let me get in the door here, Steve. Okay. Oh, yeah, now this, my friend... Just put it up here on the table. This is a device that I've just invested a lot of money in.
Oh, yeah, then it better be good.
Oh, it is, Steve, it is. It's a what-if machine.
You're right, Harry. Whatever you said, machine.
A what-if machine. Didn't you ever say something like, what if I hadn't gotten on the train this morning? I never would have met the woman of my dreams. Or what if I had decided to become a doctor instead of a crummy radio programmer? What would my life be like?
Sure, we've all done that.
Well, this machine, using incredibly complex computer circuitry and the principle of virtual reality, can show you exactly what would have happened. Hence, it's a what-if machine.
It's incredible. Can we try it?
Of course. Now, all you have to do is speak into this microphone here. The machine analyzes your voice. Now, I've already programmed your life into the database, so it knows all about you, Steve. It then reroutes the pattern of your life and creates the new you.
Okay. How do we get to see the new me?
Well, I told you, Steve, it uses virtual reality. You will actually experience all the sensations that your life would have gone through had you made a different decision. It'll last, a minute or so.
Okay, then why don't I start off with something easy?
Fine, Steve.
Hand me the microphone there. All right. Here's my question. What if I had gotten up on the wrong side of the bed this morning?
Okay, Steve, let me just get the machine here. Start processing the... your question. Okay. All right. I think it's pretty much set, Steve. And, here we go, Steve. Into the new reality!
Oh, man, my nose! Oh, it's killing me!
If I've told you once, I've told you a million times, Steve. Don't get up on the wrong side of the bed!
Oh, how are the bandages holding up?
Fine, Steve. What I don't understand is how come you had to bound out of bed? Can't you take your time like everyone else?
I just wanted to greet life with gusto. Is my head still bleeding?
I think it pretty much stopped. There's a big blood clot up there. But you look ridiculous with that bandage over your nose and chin.
My knees aren't doing too well either.
This'll teach you, Steve. Next time, get up on the right side of the bed. Not the side that's up against the wall. You're being ridiculous.
Wow, Harry, that was incredible. It's like I was right there.
That's the amazing part of this machine.
And it certainly answered the question, what if I had gotten up on the wrong side of the bed?
That's right, Steve.
Well, why don't you ask it a question now?
All right, let's see. Okay, I got one. Hand me the microphone. All right, what if dinosaurs still existed? Okay, now, the machine is processing the information, Steve. Okay, get ready, Steve. This will be the world if dinosaurs hadn't died out.
Get away! Get away!
Steve, get behind the table here! We're in safe!
It's coming after me! Oh, no!
Here, duck down, Steve! He won't be able to see you!
Harriet, it's destroying the air studio. I've told you 1,000 times not to keep the door open. You know the dinosaurs are rampant, especially at this time of year.
I'm sorry, Steve. How did I know he would want to come in here? There's no food around.
What do you mean there's no food? There's us!
You mean you? I'm made of wood.
Why couldn't dinosaurs have become extinct instead of dogs? I bet we could have trained dogs to be our friend. But this thing, look at him. He's wrecking the CD player.
Steve, for Pete's sake, stay behind the table so he doesn't see you. You know we've been trying to destroy the dinosaurs, but it's those environmentalists. The spotted owl and the dinosaur are on top of their list.
I know, and in the meantime, dinosaurs have made a mockery of civilization. Anytime humans try to accomplish anything, there are the dinosaurs to sabotage their efforts. You go to a movie? There are the dinosaurs sitting in the front row heckling the picture. Go to the park. There are dinosaurs smoking and drawing graffiti on the benches. Remember the World Summit meeting last month? The heads of state couldn't accomplish anything towards world peace because of those dinosaurs hopping all over the conference table. What are we going to do, Har?
I don't know, Steve, but just keep your head down. Keep your head down. Wow, Steve. So that's what the world would be like if the dinosaurs didn't become extinct.
Amazing. It's scary to even think of it. What a machine.
Okay, now it's your turn to ask it a question.
Let's take a break first. Ooh, that one wore me out just watching it.
Hiya, folks. You say you lost your job today. You say it's 4 a.m. and your kids ain't come home from school yet. You say your wife went out for a corned beef sandwich last week and the corned beef sandwich came back, but she didn't. You say your furniture's out all over the sidewalk because you can't pay the rent and you got chapped lips and paper cuts and your feet's all swollen up and blistered from pounding the pavement looking for work. Is that what's troubling you, fella?
Lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun with a dignity and stick to it and you show the world, you show the world to get off. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up that ship.
Hey there, friend. You say your radiators didn't work all winter, and now that it's summer, they started up again and you can't turn them off? Say, your wife sent your lightweight suits to the cleaners, and that means you'll have to wear your itchy tweeds this morning when they say it'll hit 106. And you gotta meet an important businessman in an hour. And your bridge just broke, and you pasted it together with bubble gum, and you hope it don't fall apart while you're doing some fast talking to this man. And your shoelace just busted, and you open a big cut on your cheek trying to even out your sideburns, and your daughter's gone out with a convict, and your wife just confessed she gave you last $60 as a deposit on an airplane hangar. Is that what's troubling you, friend?
Let your head up high and take a walk in this house with that dignity and stick to it a bit that you shout a while. You shout a while to get off. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That ship.
Hey there, cousin. You say you can't pull your car out of the mud and you're in the middle of nowhere and it's pouring rain and you can't get the top back up. And your paycheck's all blurred. And your foot went right through the gas. And your girl's screaming bloody murder. She's scared of the dark. And a stroke of lightning splits your motor in half. And your suit's shrinking up fast. And you start up the windy road on foot. And 60 yards of barbed wire hits you right smack in a push. And your boat falls down in the mud. And a wild animal comes over and runs away with your shoes. And your car blows up suddenly and your windshield wiper ends up in your mouth and you can't move and the mud's rising up to your nostrils and you're sinking fast and you don't hear your girl screaming anymore. Is that what's on your mind, cousin?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun with a dignity and stick to it and you show the world, you show the world to get off. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That ship...
And now, this is the old philosopher saying, so long, folks.
That has turned into a comedy classic. Eddie Lawrence, very popular routine in the old age. He did actually a couple of those, the old philosopher, too. And he was very funny in his day. I don't know what happened to him. If he's alive, he's very, very old. Well, you know, it's knock on wood here. I'm Steve Arino Charney. Harry's brought in his what-if machine. It's a fascinating invention. It's incredible what humans have been coming up with lately, all the advances in digital technology and computers. This machine is just another example of these great strides we've been, you know, making in the last 10 years or so.
That's right, Steve. And now that virtual reality has become basically a virtual reality, it makes the machine quite easy to create.
For those of you tuning in late, you know, let me tell you what happens. You talk into this microphone here, and you ask the machine a question. For instance, what if I had taken up the tuba instead of the guitar when I was a kid? You know, the machine will then transport you to a scene that would allow you to see your changed world.
And it's your turn, Steve. I already asked it, what if the dinosaurs hadn't become extinct?
Right. Okay, I got one. Give me the mic. What if I had never become a ventriloquist?
You mean, what if I didn't exist?
Exactly.
All right, Steve. The computer aspect of the machine is processing your question. And here we go. This is what would happen if you never did ventriloquism.
Please, sir, could you spare some change for something to eat?
Listen, young man, why don't you have a job? You don't look like an invalid.
But, sir, I did have a job. Once, I was a children's entertainer.
A fine profession. You should have been quite successful at it.
I tried, honestly, I tried. I had a radio program. I did a live show. I even wrote books and songs. I did magic. I told jokes. But no one wanted to listen. No one wanted to come to my performance. No one ever laughed. No one was even slightly amused. I tried. God knows I tried. Look how far I've fallen. I'm a bum. I'm homeless. I'm hopeless.
Well, maybe what you needed was some sort of sidekick.
No one wanted to work with me. They didn't even want to be seen with me. I was that bad.
Well, then you should have made someone up. Did you ever think of becoming a ventriloquist?
A what?
Ventriloquist! You make a doll talk!
Interesting, I never thought of that. I always thought I could do it on my own.
Well, you were wrong. You're a failure. You're a miserable lowlife. You're the dregs of society. And it's all because you didn't create an alter ego. You needed a puppet, a doll, a dummy. You poor, pitiful thing. Here's a dime.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
The man should have become a ventriloquist. Then he would have been funny.
Wow, Harry. I had no idea.
See that, Steve? Remember that next time you're thinking of going out on your own. I'm your meal ticket.
Yikes. Scared to even think about it.
Now I'll ask the what-if machine a question.
Okay.
Hand me the mic there. What if I was working for a really good, successful ventriloquist instead of a no-good bum like Steve?
Hey!
Let's face it, Steve. Your career is at a standstill. You're not going anywhere. You're getting stale. I just want to see what would have happened if I was with someone who had, you know, some ambition.
All right. It's your machine. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, the what-if machine is processing the question. And here we go, Steve. Here we go. Peel me another grape, won't you, Nastasia?
Yes, oh cute one. Your wish is my command.
Now this is the life. A big television star. Millions in the bank. Servants to do my bidding. My own private musicians from India. And oh, here's my ventriloquist. Ah, Boris! How are things?
Harry, we got a show coming up tonight. This time I want you to stay on my knee and stop gallivanting all around the stage.
Well, of course, Boris. You're the boss. Have my limo driver bring the car around and make sure that it's well stocked with food and drink. My public awaits. And to think that I was going to stick with that Schlemiel Charney. What a loser he was.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Well, maybe now you'll treat me better, Steve. I can always go with Morris.
I just can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Well, why don't we take a break? I think you need to recuperate after that last what if.
I gotta.
Everybody come look, quick!
Ruby, that's wonderful! Congratulations!
We're so proud of you.
Ruby peed in the potty chair. Ruby peed in the potty chair. Ruby peed in the potty chair. Mama and her sister and I were there. She could have peed in her diaper white. She could have peed in her diaper white. Could have peed in her diaper white. But Ruby peed in her chair tonight. Hey! Ruby peed in the potty chair. Ruby peed in the potty chair. Ruby peed in the potty chair. Mom and her sister and I were there. In the potty chair, Ruby peed in the potty chair. Mom and her sister and I were there.
Made a tinkly, sprinkly sound. Made a tinkly, sprinkly sound. Made a tinkly, sprinkly sound. Not one drop of it hit the ground.
When Ruby peed in the potty chair, Ruby peed in the potty chair. Ruby peed in the potty chair. Mom and her sister and I were there.
Flushed it out in the Casco Bay. Flushed it out in the Casco Bay. Flushed it out in the Casco Bay. And what do you think all the fish did say? Hey,
Ruby peed in the potty chair. Ruby peed in the potty chair. Ruby peed in the potty chair. Mom and her sister and I were there.
Yes,
Ruby peed in the potty chair. Ruby peed in the potty chair. Ruby peed in the potty chair. Mom and her sister and I were there.
Down.
Clarence. Clarence Lee from Tennessee loved the commercials he saw on TV. He watched with wide believing eyes and bought everything they advertised. Cream to make his skin feel better. Spray to make his hair look wetter. Bleach to make his white things whiter. Stylish jeans that fit much tighter. Toothpaste for his cavities. Powder for his doggy's fleas. And purple mouthwash for his breath. Deodorant to stop his sweat. He bought each cereal they presented. He bought each game that they invented. And then one day, he looked and saw a brand new Ma, a better Pa. New, improved in every way. Hurry, order yours today. So, of course, our little Clarence sent off for two brand new parents. The new ones came in the morning mail. The old ones he sold at a garage sale. And now they all are doing fine. His new folks treat him sweet and kind. His old ones work in an old coal mine. So, if your Ma and Pa are mean and make you eat your lima beans and make you wash and make you wait and never let you stay up late and scream and scold and preach and pout, that simply means they're wearing out. So send off for two brand new parents and you'll be as happy as little Clarence.
That was Shel Silverstein reading some of his poems from a cassette called A Light in the Attic. Shel Silverstein, I think that's now distributed on Sony Children's Music. Very popular book, remember? Light in the Attic and Where the Sidewalk Ends. Both of those were on the New York Times bestseller list for an unbelievable amount of time. Well, Shel Silverstein's real good, that's why. And before that, we heard The Hose Family. They're in Maine. There's some nice stuff on that. The whole family. You can see that their little kid was joining in on their last one. Hose, spelled H-O-O-S-E. Everyone, of course, would say The Hose Family. But no, it's Hose, as in Roosevelt. So that makes sense. Okay, let's see. It's Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney. All right, let me tell you, if you're tuning in late, you don't know what's going on. Harry has this what-if machine. You ask your question, then using a complicated system of virtual reality and a computer database, it created the environment to show you what life would be like if your question became true. For instance, I asked the machine, what if Harry never existed? I was transported into a mirage that showed me as a bum.
Right, Steve. I asked what would happen if dinosaurs still existed and we were suddenly being attacked by one.
Well, you asked it what would happen if you had gone with Morris, another ventriloquist.
Yes, they saw me as a millionaire. I had limousines and my own musicians and people to peel me grapes. Oh, it was so much fun.
Yes. Fascinating machine.
Yeah. You want to ask it another question?
No, you go ahead. You ask it a question.
Okay, let's see. All right, I got one. What if I was a vampire dummy? Okay, now... the machine is processing the question, Steve. And let's find out the truth.
All right. Let's find out the truth, shall we?
Yes.
Harry, what are you doing with that cape on? I've told you 1,000 times you don't wear a cape to the show.
But I feel cold. Here, let me get up on your lap where you could warm me up.
Well, that's where you're supposed to be anyway. Hop up here.
Wow. Very comfy. What a nice neck you have.
Neck? What does that have to do with anything? Come on, we have to perform our comedy routine. Here's the script.
But of course. What a lovely neck.
Hey, stop caressing my neck. What are you doing, Harry? Cut that out!
So soft, yet so supple. Let me kiss it.
What are you doing? I mean, what are you doing? Ouch! Hey, stop that! You bit me!
Do you have a straw?
Harry, I'm starting to feel sleepy. What are you doing to my neck? Get off my neck. I'm feeling so sleepy. So very sleepy.
Strawberry. my favorite flavor.
Wow, that was scary, huh?
Gee, thank goodness I'm not a vampire dummy.
Really? Okay, it's my turn to ask it a question.
Okay, go ahead, shoot. The microphone is ready for you.
Okay, what if there was no what-if machine?
Oh, tricky one, Steve. All right. The machine is starting to process the information. Here we go, Steve. Into virtual reality.
So we're waiting for Harry here. I'm not sure where he is. And here he is. Hey, Harry, what's up for today?
I don't have anything for today, Steve. I hoped you would have a script or something.
Nope, not a thing.
So what are we going to do?
I don't know.
Wait, I got a good idea. How about if I bring in a what-if machine?
Sounds like a good idea, but it's not possible.
Why not?
Because this fantasy is about what would happen if there was no what-if machine, so how could you bring one in?
But if there's no what-if machine, how could we be in a virtual reality where there's no what-if machine? There'd be no what-if machine to ask the question, what if there was no what-if machine?
Look, there is a what-if machine. It's just not in this virtual reality.
We're in a virtual reality?
That's right.
Created by...
a what-if machine.
Aha! So there is a what-if machine. It's a contradiction, a conundrum. Gotcha!
Yeah. I'll have to think about that.
So you see, Steve, it's lucky we have this machine. Otherwise, we'd be resorting to lame routines like that last one.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Well, I have one more question to ask it.
Go ahead, Steve.
What if this show was over now?
Okay, it's processing the question. And we're going to find out, Steve. Hey, there's your answer.
Click on archives and type in knock on wood. You can listen to previous knock on wood programs.